Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Good morning and thanks for joining us. Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Of course, Ryan Horvath is here. Chuck and Bart, not so much here.
Yeah, nowhere to be found. Hey, Kev, what we do have coming up, though, the 13th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, presented by Bayview, Shade & Blind, and Annex Wealth Management, and that begins next week on Monday. Chuck and Winkler will be there, the Bill Michaels Show, and the Wendy's Big Show. Bring a toy, stop out, see the guys, and you can watch the shows. What do you got going on next week? You're going on vacation, right?
No, I'm there. Drew and I are doing a segment together.
So that's right. You leave for vacation on Thursday, or for Thanksgiving, I should say.
And the day after, that's it.
That's
just a two-day. It's not even vacay. It's just two off days.
Are you flying?
Yeah. Going to Atlanta.
Scott, what do you got going on?
I'm going back to Chicago area.
Are you from Chicago?
I think in our suburbs, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm from Joliet, Illinois. Never knew you.
Okay. Glenview.
Never knew that. Scott Grodzki on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, for those wondering as well. So you're most concerned with offense and defense as far as this Packers team go. What are your early thoughts on the Bucks? 14-3, Chris Middleton comes back tonight. What do you think about that?
Well, you just got to think that as long as it's not the Devontae Adams thing where he comes back and then the offense forgets how to play, that would be an issue. But no, I mean, the Bucks are the Bucks. I think it's weird even saying that, knowing that I'm taking for granted that they're 14-3 and Giannis just scored 50 without a turnover, which is remarkable. But it's the regular season in the NBA, and when you have a team that's as dominant and as good as the Bucks, regular season in the NBA doesn't matter anymore. It mattered 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when Giannis was still getting better and you were hoping that, okay, will they make the playoffs? Will they win a playoff series? Will they get a top four seed and be home? I don't know if they're going to be the one, or if the Celtics will be, or anyone else, but it doesn't matter. They're gonna be a 50-plus win team. They'll very possibly get to 60 again. They're going to be either the one or the two seed, and if they're not the one, obviously, we found out last year, home court advantage isn't exactly everything. I don't think there'll be any problems reintegrating Middleton. I do think it's good for guys like Dante DiVincenzo to be getting some playing time so that they can see what they have in there, because when push comes to shove towards the end and once you get into the playoff situation, Kyle Korver's a liability on defense, and you need to see if you have some other guys out there who can play. But they're 14-3. If they were 12-5 or if they were 16-1, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of difference in terms of the feel.
And what that means, I think, is January, February, March, those 3 months, as they establish and separate, there's no reason to not rest a lot of guys, a lot of games, right? I mean, this whole, we use the term load management, which is a different sort of thing, but the idea is you just don't want to be hurt. You just want to have healthy guys going in. I think we're going to see a lot of guys out leading into the playoffs. January, February, March, you're going to see guys take games off, maybe multiple games at a time.
Well, and that's the reason why the NBA has a huge problem on their hands, is that me speaking as a fan, and a fan of basketball, and someone who enjoys watching the Bucks play, if I'm going to a game in February or March or January, I want to see Giannis play. I want to see the Bucks stars on the court, and I want to see him playing for, 35 minutes and putting up those monster numbers like he did in their last game. But if I'm the Bucks, no, there's no reason to play him every week or every game. They shouldn't be playing guys on back-to-backs because they don't need to. Because, again, does it matter if this team finishes 60-22 or 64-16 or 56-26? No, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It's still going to be a top-ish seed, and it's still going to be in good position for the playoffs. And they just have to make sure that once they get to mid-April and hopefully in through mid-June, they're playing their best basketball then.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Also, when you look at the Eastern Conference, I mean, it's just brutal. Philadelphia's had a rough start. Miami's been kind of the surprise team. Boston's been a little bit of a surprise as well. But the Western Conference is going to be a bloodbath just to get into the playoffs. I don't think you get into the playoffs in the West without winning at least, I don't know, 48 to 50 games. Do you think the Bucks have enough talent to hang with a team like the Lakers, who have Anthony Davis and LeBron, or the Clippers, who have Kawhi and Paul George? Do you think maybe they're a move away at the deadline? People keep tweeting at me, obviously, they want Bradley Beal. That's not going to happen. You're not going to get a superstar. But if you bring in like a Nico Mirotic and he actually works out and remembers how to hit a shot in the Eastern Conference Finals, do you see them doing something like that? Or do you think like the lineup and the rotations that we have now are what we're going to see? The younger guys like Dante or Sterling? Or do you think they go after a veteran at the deadline?
I think they'll go after someone. I don't think it'll be as big as Nico Mirotic, and obviously that didn't work out anyway, but I they can't keep trading all these picks, and I know they just got one back from the Pacers and the Brogdon sign and trade, but I think they'll probably do something minor, and I think the team as it is right now, I do think they can hang with the Lakers, the Clippers, whoever ends up coming out of the West, in part because whoever comes up ends up coming out of the West is going to be a little more banged up because the road is much tougher. And in part because no matter what it is, whether it is LeBron James or even Kawhi Leonard, and I know it didn't play out that way against Toronto last year, to me, the Bucks are going to have the best player on the court. And in the NBA, when you have the best player on the court, you always have a chance to win. It's just a different league than Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, and one guy can win a series for you, and one guy can win a game for you by himself. And So am I saying right now go to Vegas and put everything on the Bucks? No. But can they hang with those teams? Absolutely.
I know you've got something special brewing today for our folks in the CBS 58. I don't know how much you want to give away, but I know you're up early because you're working on something kind of fun for us tonight, right?
Well, it's not just CBS 58. It's also 105.7 at home of the panel. We'll be talking to Leroy Butler, and I don't know if you guys have heard, but He there's this like organization in somewhere in the middle of Ohio that seems very interested.
Interested enough to
I think it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's where that is, right?
Because Leroy Butler's experience on drums was eventually going to get him in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait for that tonight. That's going to be a blast, in a perfect way to send out the day before Thanksgiving to hear from Leroy Butler, one of the all-time great guys. And that's the thing that I think we in Wisconsin are spoiled, right? Because we know this is a good player, but we also know it's a special guy, and I think that makes us root for this thing.
I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's not, we're not just going to talk to him for Hall of Fame. We're also, you know, we're up because he's doing a fundraising event right now, so we're going to be joining him at that for a little bit.
Scott calls me the conductor of the CBS 58 train, and so I had to make sure we got that in there. Scott, really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to you and Leroy. I'm interested to see what he has to say.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Thanks, Scott. Scott joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We still got Ryan Woods going to join us, I believe around 8:20 from the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. And we'll talk about what's going on with this Packers defense right now and what they got to do to bounce back and pick up a win against the New York Giants. If you lose against the Giants, I'm done with this team for the remainder of the season.
And that's okay. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that they could lose this game. But if they just trip up, then I get really, really nervous about it. We got more of Chuck and Winkler coming up, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Chuck and Bart both out. Ryan Horvath and Kevin Holden in. I'm with CBS 58 in Milwaukee. We've been talking Packers. We've been, I don't know if we've been especially reassuring to you after this Niners game. I don't know if I want to be reassured.
I don't know where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think I just want to see maybe a 30-point win in New York, and maybe that's the thing that'll make me feel better. Maybe Ryan Wood can help reassure us. He, of course, is with the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm probably the wrong person to reassure. I very much thought that the 49ers looked every bit the 29 points better than the Packers. And, you know, there's five games left to kind of get things ready for the playoffs. That's where they're headed. But there's a lot of work to do.
A lot. And I think it starts – on the offensive side of the ball, because, and I understand the pressure that you faced with the Niners was different than what you faced with most teams. That pressure was pretty intense. But it started to lead to these identity questions about Aaron Jones, about how much he's involved. And then LaFleur actually addresses that. Do you think that's something that he fixes this week? Is the focus on getting Aaron Jones the ball more this week?
Probably not. The reality is they don't need to ride Aaron Jones to beat the Giants. And so if they have a game where they can go two back and really kind of even out the carries and the workload, and keep Aaron Jones fresh and push that date back to where they make him a workhorse, I think that's coming at some point, maybe week 16 against Minnesota. I think it's coming at some point. But it doesn't need to happen until it needs to happen. And this week does not seem to be a week where it needs to happen. There's no reason why this team shouldn't go into New York and just stop a brutally bad Giants team. I mean, they should win going away, regardless of how many times Aaron Jones touches the football. So my guess would be no, but it's just a guess.
Ryan, I got two questions for you. We're talking with Ryan Wood. You can find his work at PackersNews.com and the Green Bay Press Gazette. You're listening to Chuck and Winkler on 105.7 FM, The Fan. What has happened to the defense here in the last 5 weeks mainly? I mean, they're 26th against the run and 23rd against the pass. And then I saw an even more depressing number, 32nd in opponent's average gain on first down. They're giving up 6 to 7 yards on first down as well. What has happened to this defense the last 5 weeks?
Well, that stat right there is probably a big part of it, because when you're giving up stuff on first down, you're obviously not in a lot of third and longs. And this defense is a defense that thrives in third and long. They can create turnovers. They can get after the quarterback. Those are things that, I mean, if the Packers get in third and longs, they're in good shape. So if they're giving up stuff on early downs, they're not getting those advantageous situations to be in. The other thing is that their middle of the field coverage has just been brutal.
Right.
I mean, they've struggled covering tight ends. They've struggled against good running backs, obviously. The perimeter of the field, they've been okay. They've been okay at edge rush. They've been okay at corner. It's just the middle of the field has been a mess, and it's been like that for most of the season. So, you know, they're kind of boom or bust. I mean, bend but don't break, yes, but they're also boom or bust. When they're getting sacks and getting turnovers, defense is pretty good. When they're not, what they're doing is giving up a lot of yards. So it's something that they can get hot in the playoffs. They can get those turnovers in January, and those can be difference makers in games like that. But if they don't, it can get pretty scary.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to ask you. Can a team with a defense ranked in the bottom half of the league actually be a real competitor in the NFC, especially when we get to playoff time? Because you look at the teams that are top in the AFC and the NFC, and you see the San Francisco 49ers and the Patriots. I mean, those two defenses right there. But even the Ravens, despite losing guys like C.J. Mosley and Za'Darius Smith, like, they continue to impress defensively. Can the Packers make a run with the defense playing the way it is?
Not if they keep giving up explosive plays. I mean, that's the big thing. It's a game of making plays, obviously. It's a situational game. And if they're giving up the explosive plays, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And we keep seeing that happen, the latest being the Debo Samuel 42-yard touchdown, the George Kittle 61-yard touchdown. It's like that every week. And if that doesn't stop, this defense is not going to be what it should be. Now, when they don't give up the explosive plays and they're making – creating those turnovers, it's a very different story on that side of the ball. And that's why I think that there is hope, because this is a defense that has game changers, unlike years past, really. And the Smiths, Jair Alexander has that potential. Kevin King at times has that potential. They've got good players at key positions that can make plays. It's just a matter of having that happen and not the explosive plays that they give up.
Jones, Haskins, Trubisky, pick your Lions quarterback. Those four don't scare me. Kirk Cousins, against the way this defense has played the last few weeks, scares me a little bit. Is that a safe assessment?
Yeah, they got the better of Kirk Cousins. They make Kirk Cousins look bad week two. And they locked up, Kevin King and Jair Alexander locked up Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen week two. So it'll be very interesting to see how different they look week 16, especially being in a different venue on the road. But Kirk Cousins, really since that Week 2 game, has played some of his best football ever. He rebounded from that game quite nicely. He's a big reason why they are 8-3. So, yeah, that's certainly, when you look at the remaining schedule, the Packers, of the five teams that have 8 wins in this conference, they have the easiest remaining schedule, and it's not all that close. The one game in those five that stand out as a real test is that trip to Minnesota just before Christmas. So otherwise, you're absolutely right. The other four games, those should be four wins.
Yeah, completely agree. Ryan, how big of a, you know, what is the timetable looking for Brian Bulaga? Just a couple of weeks, and how huge is that injury for this Packers offensive line?
Yeah, well, there was the report by NFL Network that he dodged the ACL, so that's obviously really good news. And then it's just a matter of, you know, if what the MCL looks like. And this is a guy that, I mean, he's kind of like the Wolverine when it comes to healing from knee injuries. It's unreal how quickly he's been able to recover from knee injuries in the past. So I would think it'd be tough for him to play this week, and that would be really early. But with Brian Bulaga and knee injuries, you kind of assume earlier than later, just because that's the history he has with his health.
Ryan, we really appreciate it. Enjoy your holiday. Enjoy New York. And hopefully we have a lot more reassuring than we can do in December. Hopefully we feel better midway through December than we do right now.
All right. Take care, guys.
Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com.
He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
All right, taking a break here. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I want to hear you sing this one, Horvy.
Life in the fast lane. It's actually the only words I know to this one.
It's one of the only ones you can say on the radio without a delay.
I've never been a big... I don't even know who sings this.
Eagles.
Eagles? This is the Eagles?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. I'm more of a Hotel California kind of guy, I guess. Don Henley, is that the Eagles?
Yeah, but okay. That's the same. It's the same release. Life in the Fast Lane was on the same release as Hotel California.
You know, I never really got into the Eagles. My parents were big Eagles fans. It was never really my stuff.
That's back a ways. That's back a ways.
Like, I like Hotel California. Yeah, I'm not a big Eagles guy.
No?
No. Just never really did it.
Like I said, it's a long ways back. Chuck and Winkler here, 105.7 FM, The Fan, presented by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. He is Ryan Horvath. You hear Horvy here, especially this week, you're going to hear a lot of him. You are here, man. You are just like chained to this desk for the week.
I really don't even know why I go home at this point. I may spend the night. I mean, we got two TVs in here.
Why not?
Might as well, right? College hoops starting in about an hour and a half from now. Taking a look at my bets. Some good college basketball action. The Bucks in action tonight. They take on the Atlanta Hawks, and you guys could catch the postgame show with Tim Allen immediately following the final buzzer. 414-799-1250. Tweet at us throughout the day at 105.7 FM. The Fan as well. Bill Michaels up next, 10 to 2. The Wendy's Big Show brings you guys home from 2 to 6. And then we get Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow. We're talking Packers football with you guys. What area of this team scares you guys the most? Ryan Wood, didn't make me feel any better, Kev. What about you?
No, but he at least he told us he was going to do that, right? He's like, I don't know if I'm the guy to reassure you right now. And so in this hour, we've spoken to two people who were there, two people who saw this game in person, which does change a couple of things, right? You can see the field differently than you do on television. The thing about football, the thing about the NFL, is it's a great game to watch on TV just because of the action and the replays and the slow motion and all of that stuff. But you don't get the same feel that you do watching a game in person. And you also don't get the locker room feel. And that's the difference. Like when I'm listening to Scott Grodzki or I'm listening to Ryan Wood, the thing I want to hear is that pulse, right? What is the pulse? What is the locker room like? And neither of them are giving me a real positive from that. And look, you get a butt-whipping like you got in San Francisco. You are not going to be happy in the locker room. That I understand. But the key to this is to not let it beat you twice. That's a cliche, but you realize that's what just happened, right?
Right.
That just happened. They went to L.A., and they had that clunker against the Chargers, and it's like, we're going to change our schedule for San Francisco. We're going to go out a different day. We're going to handle our practices differently. We're going to handle our preparations differently, and we're going to be ready. And it was worse.
It was bad.
I mean, and the team they face is a lot better. Credit to the 49ers for that. But now that's the thing that starts to make you a little bit nervous about this. I don't think the Packers are a bad football team. I'm just worried that maybe there are certain things that don't go so well for them. And
yeah,
those long trips may be it. I don't know.
I still think they're a good football team. I just don't know if they're an elite football team. And you're like, you watch the Saints. Although you could say 2 weeks ago, you know, the Saints took a tough loss to Atlanta and Drew Brees didn't look all that good. But like the reassuring thing if you're a Saints fan is that your special teams is tops in the league. You got a good defense. You could get after the quarterback. And you know that if those games are played in the dome, that it's tough to go in there and win. Now you look at the Rams. They're pretty much finished at 6-5. They do not look very good at all. They just got trounced by the Ravens. But the 49ers are tough. I mean, they're 10-1. But with their schedule, we're going to find out if they're an elite team. You know, I mean, that was a big win for them against Green Bay. What troubles me most about the loss to the San Francisco 49ers is just the fact that you had 2 weeks to prepare for that team. You had 2 weeks to prepare for Kyle Shanahan, and you laid a clunker. You look around the league, though, and it's like, is a bye week beneficial, or is it almost like too much rest? Like, that's what I was wondering heading into that game. Like, were they away for too long, or, I mean, should they have been rest and recovered? I don't know. It's kind of like a double-edged thing there.
They were not terribly banged up before the bye. That's the one thing that's a little bit odd when you have a late bye in the season. Usually you're talking about a dozen or two dozen dudes that need that time.
Right.
They were not especially banged up before the bye, so maybe there's some credence to it. But I agree that when you see the field in San Francisco after 2 weeks off, and they played the previous week in a tough game against Arizona where they had to make a comeback, you should look healthier, and you didn't. You should look better, more rested, more aggressive, and they didn't. And that's where the concern comes in. That's the thing that Ryan Wood was, you know, not going to reassure us on, because they didn't look the way that we thought they would look. So here's what happens. Your schedule goes like this. You come back from San Francisco, you try to recover, you try to flush and move on, and now in a couple of days, you're going to the other coast.
Right.
You're going to New York. That is a noon game. So you know what a noon game is in West Coast time? It's 9 a.m.
Yeah.
So they played at 7 Central, which is 5 Pacific, against the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to play at 9 a.m. Pacific, which is, no, I'm sorry, 10 a.m. Pacific, because that's noon here, 1 p.m. Eastern time. They're just throwing a bunch of numbers at you here. But the point is, you're going completely, you're three time zones apart, and your game time is completely different. And that's difficult for the body. You're moving around all of these time slots. It's difficult.
Right, absolutely. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 414-799-1250. We'll go out to West Bend, talk with Ken. Kenny, happy Thanksgiving, bud.
Happy Thanksgiving, gentlemen. Yeah, I if I need a reporter to make me feel good about what's happening in the locker room, we're really in trouble. but the reality is simply this. Everybody needs to stop whining. The only two guys that actually picked this team to do anything was the guy sitting next to you, Kevin, and myself. Everybody else had him as a dumpster fire this year.
Yeah.
New team, new coach, new management. We'll be lucky to go 8-8. Oh, man, how long is it going to take? You know, Rodgers only has a short window. Oh, stop crying already, you knuckleheads. The reality is simple. They have 5 weeks to figure it out. I'd rather see him get beat last week the way they did than in the playoffs like they've done in the past. So you got 5 weeks to correct your problems. I think they will. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. And another thing, if you pay attention to what the offense, you know, everybody's complaining that the ball's not getting spread out enough and that Adams is being targeted. Yeah, maybe so. They probably are trying to get him in some type of a rhythm into the offense. But now it's time to go back to what got you the 8 wins and then work him in as with every other player, and get your tight ends involved, get your running backs involved, because those guys are the key to this offense, and things will start clicking from that aspect. But the defense, I was impressed with the defense. Yeah, they gave up 37 points, but they were on the field a long time. And so when you keep having to go out there because the offense is doing nothing, it's going to create problems for you. I'm not a believer in this traveling. The traveling time zones makes a big difference. I just don't see it. It's football. You get out there and you play whatever the time is. It doesn't matter. But with that being said, I do look for this team to come out and really throttle a hell out of New York this weekend. I think that they're going to show people that they are for real. And, yeah, they're beating up on the Little Sisters of the Poor, but they're still an NFL team. Yep. So hang in there, folks, and go Bucky. Happy Thanksgiving, gentlemen.
Thanks, Ken. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, buddy. 414-799-1250. Let's go back out to the phone lines, go to Franklin. We'll talk with John. John, happy Thanksgiving, man. Happy holidays. What's up?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys. I don't share the rosy outlook that our previous caller shared. You know, when I'm listening to the talk about bye weeks and preparedness and travel, this is a bunch of excuses. You were destroyed. This wasn't a close call. This wasn't a couple of penalties late in the game. You got taken apart, and it's telling. Okay? And don't be too shocked when they play a close game with the Giants. I think they're going to beat the Giants, but don't just think they're going to roll the helmets out and smack them. Because this team has got fundamental flaws, and they've been real close in a number of games. They're not that far away from being one or two games above 500. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, they could either be right at 500 or they could have one loss, or, well, two losses, because you didn't show up against the Chargers, you didn't show up against the 49ers. The Eagles game could have went either way if you just cash one of those touchdowns in when you're in the red zone and you get a couple favorable calls. Thanks for the phone call, Johnny, 414-799-1250. You guys could pop on throughout the day as well. You could also reach us on Twitter, reach us on Facebook at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Anything you missed today or any day, you could find at the radio.com app. Kevin, I don't know what you got planned for December 13th, but it's going to be an interesting day for both Packers and Bears fans because the entire fan team, including myself, will be live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha. We'll be with 670 The Score from Chicago, so you'll get a good mix of Bears commentary, Packers commentary, Bears fans, Packers fans. It'll be myself, Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels, The Wendy's Big Show, all broadcasting live. You get ready for the game, stop by, see all the broadcasts, win prizes, much, much more. All that presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event, which is going on now through January 2nd. Brat Stop, December 13th, 5 a.m., 6 p.m., the entire fan team live. And that's a game that I expect the Packers to win, but you said it earlier, I've been saying it, that's going to be the Bears Super Bowl. You got to take care of these crappy teams. You got to take care of the Skins. You got to take care of the Giants. You got to take care of the Bears. You got to take care of the Lions. And then we see what we got when we face Minnesota Week 16. I'm not saying I don't want to win that game, but if you take care of the teams that you're supposed to, you could have a slip-up and not cost yourself playoff seating or your, you know, anything worse than that even.
Two things about the Bears game that concern me. One is, as we say, that is their playoff. That is their Super Bowl. Here's the other thing. The two most physical defenses that the Packers have faced this year, Eagles, 49ers. You agree with that? Seems like a safe assessment. Both losses, two of the worst games of the year against physical defenses. And I think when you start to look at patterns, when you start to look at someone that's scouting the Packers, how do you beat the Packers?
Right.
And they see that physical nature of the defense and how different that is. Chicago fits that. They have a terrible quarterback play right now, and I get that. Their offense is struggling. But what Chicago has that has given the Packers fits is that physical defense. That defense is going to pound you a little bit. And that, again, that's that. There's a concern to me about that. It's, if you're looking at talent versus talent, team versus team, there's no reason the Packers shouldn't win that game.
Right.
But the motivation plus the physical nature of that Bears defense means that it's different than New York or Washington to me. These next two should absolutely be Packers wins. But that Chicago one's going to take a little extra something. They're going to have to reach down a little bit.
No, I completely agree with that. And, I mean, you just, yeah, I hate that we're even in this position right now, because if you win on Sunday night and you beat the Niners, coming off of a bye week, like, we're not even in this position. We're not talking about this. This is just a happy holiday. We're worried about our Thanksgiving, and then you're beating up on the Giants, you're beating up on the Skins. Then you start resting guys towards the end of the season, week 16, week 17, potentially against the Lions. You could start to get guys rest, recovered, and start focusing on the playoffs a little bit. So that's the only issue I have.
My wife is saying, how are the Packers after the bye week historically? That would be an interesting thing to check, because the Packers used to be defined by their incredible second half runs. Run
right.
The table and all the other years that they did that, where they, I mean, even the Super Bowl year, they were they not an 8-6 team after 14 weeks?
They needed to win out to make in, to get into the playoffs. I mean, you know, like the Bears were solid that year, if you remember. I mean, then Jay Cutler gets knocked out of the NFC Championship game. But yeah, I mean, nobody really expected it. The difference was you had a top defense, and the defense was able to take the ball away. But yeah, they just got hot at the right time.
Yeah. So that's, I am curious. There's a difference between being a good second half team and being good out of the bye.
Right.
And I, so she was saying, my wife's saying, how are the Packers after the bye week historically? I'd have to do a little research on that because it didn't go so well this year.
Right.
But I wonder if that's a trend or not. That would be an interesting thing to check out. Because you would expect, as, and you mentioned this a minute ago, coming out of the bye week against a team that didn't have a bye week, you should have an advantage.
Yes.
And I didn't feel like they had that advantage.
Same here.
It's a weird one. We'll take a little break here and continue things on here. This is Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck is out, Bart is out, enjoying some well-deserved time off for the holiday. Ryan Horvath, who does not get time off at all, is here. Kevin Holden, CBS 58. I'll be at my day job a little later on today. But this morning, we've been talking Green Bay Packers, and we've been mentioning second half of the season and how the Packers do coming off a bye week. Now, we know what happened Sunday night in San Francisco. That was a tough one to swallow, but has that been a pattern? The Packers coming off the bye week?
Which is a great question, and we got Sam Schmidt producing the show today. Sam, you got some numbers, don't you, my friend?
Yeah, this is from an article according to 24/7 Sports. Mike McCarthy in his 13 seasons with the Packers was apparently 9-4 coming off of bye week. Mike Holmgren was 3-5, and Mike Sherman was 4-2 coming off of a bye week.
Ooh, thank you. Look at that. Mike McCarthy, the preparation. That, I was half joking, like coming out of halftime like adjustments. McCarthy was always great at making halftime adjustments. And you know, for a couple weeks, LaFleur was too, but I just saw nothing from San Francisco. But I always wonder about the bye week, you know, because guys do get away. Guys leave Green Bay, you know, they kind of go on vacation, maybe leave the country, maybe leave the state and go and have some fun. Like, maybe do you come back a little bit too relaxed? But at the same time, like, it's a long football season. You know, you had 8 wins up until that point. So I get it, like, you also need to rest and recover. So it's kind of like, was it beneficial or did it end up hurting the team? If it had anything to do with it whatsoever.
And remember, the answer might be both. In other words, it may have hurt you in the short term and helped you in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
The first game back may not have been great, but the fact that they did get rest might help them now in these games in December. And that stretch is coming where you have all 3 division opponents to close the season, Chicago at home, at Minnesota, at Detroit. And the truth is, no offense to San Francisco and this Sunday night game in this, you know, sort of late mid point in the season, but you want the Packers at their absolute best, probably starting about week 15.
Yeah.
And from then forward, right? If you're going to clunk, glad it just happened and right, not in week 15, 16, 17 and beyond. That's when you have to be at your best. And if they're rested and it means they're at their best in week 15, this will be forgivable. It's not forgivable in this moment. But 2 or 3 weeks from now, it'll feel a lot better if they win their next 3 in a row.
I'm just curious to see how they bounce back from this one. You know, like, it could go 2 different ways. You could come out and you could steamroll the Giants and beat them by 40, or you could come out and be shell-shocked almost still. Or, because, like, the thing about this team is I didn't want to be in this position because I did predict this team to go 12-4. I really did. I thought they had the pieces, and I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to have a huge bounce back year and have an MVP season. I like the Smith brothers. I like Adrian Amos. I like Jair Alexander. I thought if Kevin King could stay healthy that he could be a difference maker. And then I was like, man, I may have sold this team short at 12-4. This may be a 13, 14, 15 win team realistically. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you lose 2 or 3 to the Chargers and the Niners on the West Coast. This is the situation I didn't want to be in now, where it's almost like you have to get right, and especially when you're this healthy. Because the problem with the Packers the last, 3 to 4, 5 years is health. Like, there's 25 guys on the injured reserve usually this time of year.
Right.
They've actually stayed pretty healthy. Like, they're healthy. Nobody's really even that banged up, and you get clobbered like that from the Niners. And so now it's just a position I really didn't want to be in when I was considering this to maybe be a 13-win team that was just going to kind of cruise to the Super Bowl. Not that I really thought they were going to cruise, but The 49ers opened my eyes a little bit on Sunday night. And I've given them credit all year because I know that they've built that team around that defensive line, that front four. I mean, John Lynch did a great job with it. But I still wasn't completely sold on Jimmy Garoppolo What he showed me on Sunday night is that in the fourth quarter, he can make some plays. He's not just a system quarterback, a game manager. It looked like Aaron Rodgers was a game manager, mm-hmm. and Jimmy Garoppolo was the MVP candidate on Sunday night.
Yeah, he's improving, and that's it's dangerous for teams because that means if he's improving, if that arrow is pointing upward, and you have to face San Francisco in the playoffs with that defense feeling the same way, and Garoppolo is a better quarterback than he was a month before or 2 months before, they become maybe the most dangerous team in the NFC. They give New Orleans a run for that number one spot in the NFC. It's weird to me that we have 5 weeks left in the season, and can you guys make any case whatsoever for anyone outside of these six teams as the six playoff teams in the NFC? Niners and Seahawks, Packers and Vikings, Saints, and whoever wins the East.
No, absolutely not.
Those are the six, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and I think we're sleeping on Minnesota, especially in the state of Wisconsin. We're sleeping on them a little bit. You know, since Kirk Cousins went on his radio show or his podcast or whatever the hell that thing is, and he apologized to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen for not getting them the ball. Like, they've changed their offense completely. Like, their offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski, has done a great job. And I continue to say this as well, with the play-action passing, and when you have Dalvin Cook, I think he's the most dominant back in this league. I mean, they've opened up that offense. They're getting production out of the tight end position a little bit now with Rudolph. They're freeing. I mean, Thielen's been banged up throughout the season, but they're getting the ball now to Stephon Diggs, actually. I think the Vikings are scary. And the secondary was a little bit banged up, but now they've picked it up. And, I mean, they got a scary pass rush. So I think that we're sleeping on the Vikings. Same thing like the Saints. You do not want to go to New Orleans and play them in the playoffs.
No.
You just do not. You do not want to go into Seattle. I don't even really want to see Seattle at Lambeau Field. I do not want to see Russell Wilson. I don't.
Yep.
Because if you're going to give up 250-plus yards through the year to Jimmy Garoppolo, what's Russell Wilson going to do to you?
My biggest concern before the San Francisco game was this. I thought the Packers were a borderline one or two in the NFC, and I thought if they slipped to three and had to host a six, and that six was Seattle, they'd be in trouble. That was my thought before the San Francisco game. Now I think they've got to play the first week,
mm-hmm.
which may still be the problem. They may still end up, you know, as a three hosting a six, or they may even have to go on the road. But yeah, you are 100% right about if the Niners win the West, Seattle is going to make somebody terrified in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
As a wild card team.
And it's crazy because, like, before the season, I said this is maybe a 7-win team. And that's with Russell Wilson. If
yeah.
you take Russell Wilson away from that Seattle team, that's why I think maybe he should be the MVP of the league, even over Lamar Jackson. Now, Lamar's great, but the system that they've put in and John Harbaugh's put in is just, like, fantastic. With mm-hmm. the running game, the defense is getting after the quarterback. If you take Russell Wilson off Seattle, I think that's a 3-13, maybe a 4-12 football team.
Yeah, because what's their strength then?
I mean, you improved on the defensive side of the ball a little bit with Jadeveon Clowney, but not a whole lot. And, like, look at the weapons on that team. Chris Carson, okay, serviceable back. But Doug Baldwin retires, like, 4 weeks before the season. That's arguably, you know, a top 15 to 20 wide receiver. You lose him. And Russell Wilson just continues to make guys stars. Like, reminds me of Aaron Rodgers years back. Now Rodgers can't do that so much. I don't know if it's that he doesn't want to do that, if he can't do that, or these guys just aren't stars. MVS, Geronimo Allison, etc. But Russell Wilson is doing a lot with a little.
He is what Rodgers was for many years, right? I'm telling you, those are the six, right? You 5 weeks to go, you're in a very weird position in that you can see the playoffs now. It's just a matter of how the deck is shuffled, but you know the cards. San Francisco and Seattle, Minnesota, Green Bay, New Orleans, and whoever wins the East. And so if you're Green Bay and you could if you know you're not one or two, okay, let's just say that that's not going to happen. Let's say it's the Saints and Niners at 1-2. Let me shuffle those two positions out. Saints and Niners at 1-2. What is the most advantageous position for Green Bay to be in those playoffs? I would say a 5.
Yeah.
Because you would face the East winner on the road, and they already beat Dallas in Dallas.
Right.
They look really good in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think the Eagles would pose much of a threat. Now, what that means is you have to have a better record than the Seahawks at the end of the season. That might happen just based on schedule.
Scheduling, yeah. I mean, if you don't, then that's a real issue.
Right. So, I mean, can you imagine?
Because if this team drops one, or both, I mean, but if they drop one to the Giants or Washington, they're not making a run in the playoffs. And you could say regular season, you know, maybe they could turn it on, but no. If you drop one of those games to one of those teams, those aren't just bad football teams. Like, that's not even like the Dolphins, who at least have, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick behind center, a veteran that could light you up for 400 and
right.
three touchdowns, but then five picks the next game.
Right.
Like, that's not even like the Jets with some talent, like a bad football team, but with some talent. Like, those are football teams that are bad football teams with no talent. Like, in New York, Daniel Jones shows flashes, and they have Saquon Barkley, but they're beat up is the other thing. Like, you're getting killed by the tight end, and Evan Ingram might not even play. He didn't play last week. He's beat up. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, the Giants completely beat up. No Jabril Peppers. He's not going to play this week. So, you look at Washington, probably the worst team in the NFL. And so if you have to beat both of those teams, and you have to beat them both by, I say, at least three touchdowns to make me feel comfortable.
Because if you don't, right, if those are too close and then you end up slipping up against a Chicago and slipping up against a Minnesota and you're a six, this is something that Scott was talking about. Picture your Super Bowl path as at Minnesota, at New Orleans, at San Francisco. Ain't happening.
No, if you get past Minnesota, you're not yet right. Right.
It ain't happening. I mean, even you could bring your best game. One of those is going to be a slip up.
I agree.
So that's why six is a really bad position to be in. And I'm not a huge fan of three having to face. If you had to face Seattle as a six, that'd be bad too. I mean, it's not good.
You're in control of your own destiny. Like, you're at the point of the season where you wanted to be. You took care of business and you did enough. It would have been nice to get that win on Sunday Night Football. You didn't. Now you move on and you control your own destiny. 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7 FM. The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler. Chuck and Bart off for the week. Kevin Holden in for, well, both of them, and myself, Ryan Horvath. And then you, Charlie, on the east side. What's up, pal? Happy Thanksgiving, bud.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Fucking right now, talking about the Packers' record and where they're going to end up in the playoffs and everything, and how you're wondering how it's going to match up and what and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
This goes to show that they aren't that good of a team for what their record says.
Mm-hmm.
It's they just aren't that good. They have a couple lucky wins, especially Detroit, that you know really shouldn't have gone their way. They have a, you know, they're going to have be 11-5. They have a, you know, a great record, but they're just not that good of a team. And we have to face the fact that with Rodgers being a Super Bowler broke for the end of his career and everything, we have to say we're in a rebuilding mode and we got a lot of rebuilding to do.
Fair phone call, Charlie. Fair phone call, because I think even if this is a playoff team and you lose in the first round of the playoffs, whether that be you're a wild card team or, you know, wherever you do finish. I don't want to say it's a rebuild because you made the playoffs and you won double-digit games, but also I guess technically it is a rebuild because you still have Aaron Rodgers. I guess this is the prime of his career. You still have – you've paid a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball. The Smith brothers aren't going anywhere. Adrian Amos isn't going anywhere. You got Jair locked up. You know, you'll have to make a decision on a few guys, Kenny Clark, Blake Martinez. But you're still going to be building through the draft and maybe just a piece or two away. So I think – you know, regardless of how you look at this season, even after a blowout loss to San Francisco, you have to be pleased because, yeah, I predicted this team to go 12-4, but most people were saying 8-8, 7-9. It's going to be a learning experience. First year head coach. Let's see what we have in Matt LaFleur. But if you do make the playoffs, I'll be upset. Like, I won't sleep for 2 weeks because I'm a psychopath for this team. But, like, as a fan base, I think you'd have to be satisfied making the playoffs year one under Matt LaFleur and being like, hey, you know, the Rams, year one, under Sean McVay, they made the playoffs. They got knocked out. Year two, they made the Super Bowl. Now year three, they're a damn disaster, and they're one game above 500. But that's what I mean. Like, it's a step in the right direction, I feel.
Yeah, it's important, right, for the future. It's important for the general direction. Can I give you one real quick bit
absolutely.
Of breaking news coming out, just super fast? This broke just a few minutes ago. The Badgers, a year from now in basketball, are going to compete in the 2020 Fort Myers tip-off. So I'm just, you know what I'm doing here, right?
Making me mad. I almost just used a bad word. Who are they playing in this tournament? Hopefully not Richmond again.
The four-team field is Wisconsin, Butler, Colorado, and South Florida.
Okay. Butler will get them, but, I mean, if you can't beat South Florida, we'll have some issues.
South Florida. So it's November 23rd and 25th, 2020. I'm telling you guys this, so the three of us...
We can make our plans?
Right, so that we can beat everybody else to this.
Will Greg Gard be the head coach? 414 now.
We can get our plane flights booked. Because think, would there be a better place than Fort Myers, Florida in late November?
You don't really know, and I love Fort Myers, and we could even get into Fort Myers a little bit. I got some crazy Fort Myers stories.
You do?
Off the air, though. Yeah,
oh.
I like Fort Myers. I actually tried to talk my wife into a vacation there, and she's like, Ryan, we take one vacation every 4 years. We're not going to Fort Myers. We went to Disney, and then we ended up making the long drive, though.
It's a fun place.
I like it.
Yeah, Southwest Florida is underrated, dude. It
really is.
All right, so yeah, that was my little sidetrack there. So the Badgers, November 23rd and 25th of next year, Of course, they got to get through this year, and it's been brutal the last couple of games. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.